Reminded me of a scripture in Proverbs 17 and 6. What an awesome scripture. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Amen. I love being a grandfather. Amen. Kids that are living for God, you know. Third and fourth generation kids just says something to God. Amen. Of commitments. Amen. And then if you'll turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, my favorite scripture, or one of them, amen, Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, and that word faith here is faithfulness. But without faithfulness, it is impossible to please him. Yeah, but I've memorized scripture. Yeah, but I have a talent. Yeah, but I sing. But without faithfulness, can't please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, but I work hard. I have great brain cells. I'm sorry, you can't be rewarded without the touch of God, knowing that you're faithful.
Amen. All right.
Amen. I've said this a couple of thousand times. I'm standing here behind this pulpit as a pastor, not because of my abilities, but because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt my faithfulness.
Amen.
Verse number 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet or seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house or family, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, God. Let there be an anointing on it.
Amen.
On us, God.
Amen.
Let it touch our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
And change us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I generally don't teach on topics such as Father's Day and things of that nature, but this morning I feel led to do that. I want to thank all of the faithful fathers in this congregation. It's imperative that you are faithful, because if you're not, your children will never be faithful. Would there be an existence of mankind without a Noah? Everyone was destroyed in this world because of wickedness. Every imagination of the mind of man was evil continually, and God said, I'm going to destroy everyone. But then Noah found grace in the sight of God.
Amen.
I guess we don't recognize the importance of somebody who will stand up and say, I don't care, everybody else is thinking the wrong thing, doing the wrong things, but not me. I'm going to live for God.
Right.
So every day they got up, 120 years, building an ark. Folks, I believe that there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who helped, bought in the idea of building an ark or the church, but then when something didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen, one by one, they walked away. But Noah said to his sons, no, we're going to the ark today.
Right.
We're going to keep building. Because I know what God said.
Yeah.
And even though there are a lot of people who have disappointed you, I'm your father. I'm saying we need to be saved by going to the ark.
Amen.
Build a little bit today.
Amen.
Build a little bit tomorrow.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if he simply said, well, just lay out, you know, I don't know, if God's changed his mind, it's not that important to keep building. You know, I tell you what, if you're going to be a father, you can't be a wishy-washy father.
Amen.
Melvin Milquetoast. When we have a father, we need to have a father who takes charge and says, okay, this is the way it's going to be because I have a responsibility. Each father is a pastor. You have a congregation that you need to motivate, encourage, but keep on the right path.
Right.
Now, if you turn to Joshua, the first chapter, chapter 1, and starting in verse number 1, Joshua is just an outstanding patriarch in the Bible. It is a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now we don't know much about Nun, kind of a play on words, none about none. But Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and onto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all of the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What an incredible thing. Listen, I'm going to bless you. Wherever you go, I'm going to bless you. There won't be one situation where you'll ever lose a battle. You're always going to be a winner. And I really believe it's because Joshua was a man of decision. Here we read that Nun is the father of Joshua. Some scholars believe that Joshua's father Nun died early in his age, and Moses became Joshua's surrogate father. That could be many of us today, a natural father and a spiritual father. In fact, most of us could be that. I read about a 43-year-old dentist by the name of Greg who was driving by a carnival with his 11-year-old son, and they saw a Velcro wall. And I'm not very familiar with that concept, but the son said these driving words, Dad, you'll never do that. And so, you know, us men, we're up to a challenge. And before you knew it, Greg, the dentist, was wrapped in Velcro and launched by a bungee cord onto a wall, and there he's stuck up on the wall as his son was just having an incredible day, clapping his hands and cheering for his dad because he was launched against a Velcro wall. One of the greatest qualities of a father is great sticking power. I'm going to be there for you. You don't realize how important it is for fathers to be there. You know, this whole message is not only about fathers, but it's all about mothers, and it's all about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest power we have is the power of sticking to the God who laid down his life for each and every one of us. Dads, you don't realize the importance of your lives in the eyes of your children. The statistics of children raised without a father in their life is staggering. Yesterday I read 70% of youth in detention centers are raised without a father. Young men whose fathers die before they reach adolescence have the greatest difficulty in their marriage because they don't have a role model for what they're supposed to be. Girls who do not have a father in their life become promiscuous in their early years. Girls need a father to demonstrate a loving relationship in a marriage. Brother Harpole said something when he was here, I just can't get out of my mind. His title to our men's group was, "The Check is in the Mail." In other words, it's the male who sets up the perimeters, the defense within the family, to keep the family straight, and they are the priests, if you will. Turn to a very familiar scripture in Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 13. God saying, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not." You know, there's some benefits for living for God. I remember when my wife and I think it was in 1981, we decided to open up a retail store in an 1880s village. We sold grandfather clocks and wall clocks and all of that. And everybody was open on a Sunday, but we never opened our doors on a Sunday because that belongs to God. Now, some people will disagree with me, but you'll never have the results. And we would have association meetings where we would always outsell everybody in the entire complex of 35 stores. But we made a decision, you see. We get things that we didn't work for or build for, and ye dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Every day we choose. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. As for me. Everyone makes a choice. Yeah, but they're not, and they're not, and in my family, and no. You will make a choice for your family. Joshua, well, I'll tell you what, you might have saved your family, because there was a meeting at Shechem, and all of these people who received all of this wonderful land of flowing with milk and honey, some of them were saying, "Well, you know, I know we did this before, but it's not that important." He said, "Listen, let's review what God has done for you. Who are you going to serve?" Turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter, please. And verse number 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Why is he going to bless him? And why is all of the blessing going to come through him? Because I know he's going to command his kids. You're going to live for God. Now, I know that we can't force our kids to do anything, but we can make a clear sound. I know I can't force anybody in this congregation to serve for God or be faithful, but somebody's got to make a clear sound if I'm going to be the father. You see, glory to God. Who was Joshua? Well, he was the son of Nun, who most of us have to agree must have been a great man in order to get him to the place he was. He wasn't wishy-washy, but he was a direct man. He was a decision maker. He couldn't be a general of an army if he said, well, I don't know if we should, you know. He gave his son the name Hoshea, which meant deliverer. He really felt, I believe Nun really felt, that maybe this boy could be the deliverer of Israel. In fact, all of Israel thought, maybe it'll be my son who will be the deliverer of Israel. What Nun did was to picture a spiritual future for his son. One of the most important roles of a father is to picture a spiritual role for their son or for their daughters. You know what? I believe, honey, God's going to use you in an incredible way. And that sinks into the psyche of the child thinking, well, maybe God is going to use me in the ministry or a special capacity. And when Nun passed, Moses stepped in and finished the young man's education, and Moses renamed him from Hoshea to Joshua, meaning the Lord is my salvation, a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children need godly affirmation to unlock the potential in their life. What we're doing with our young people in quizzing, when we're clapping our hands for them memorizing scripture, it says something to them that I'm valuable in the sight of God. I could do great things for God because of what I've made. My father was not an encourager. Few compliments. Not too many that a boys, you know. As a result, I've had to learn to appreciate the value of complimenting other people in my life. It's not been easy because that's not where I came from. Some of you men in my era probably have the same situation. My generation didn't feel that those words were important, especially for boys, and it was not an emotional thing that we were supposed to do, but they were wrong. We have to know that. We as fathers need to do more praising of our children and less criticizing of our children. We have a tendency to point out all of the things that they do wrong when we should probably bathe them in compliments of the things that they do right. That's a part. See, it is so important for a child to have that affirmation, especially from the father. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job, you see. Remember the day when Joshua led Israel into the fight with the Amalekites? Moses sat at the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur, and Moses had his hands up in the air. I believe as Joshua was fighting the battle with the Amalekites, that's the flesh. Every once in a while, he'd look over to the top of the hill, and there was his father, Moses, with his hands up. You're going to get the victory. And there was a small space in which his hands were down, and all of a sudden it seemed like they were going to be defeated. But then when the hands went up, hey, my dad's behind me. My father is encouraging me. And I'm telling you, there are times when we get a little low. We're fighting the battle. We're fighting the sickness. We're all alone. There's critical people in our lives. And then all of a sudden, God touches us. Amen. It's going to be all right. When a father affirms his children's actions, they feel confident in what they're doing. We give little plastic trophies and not much, but it affirms confidence that they've done well. But more than the trophies are the good job from a mother and a father. And you see, we could derail their future by too many negative reports saying, you know, you could do better. You know, make something for your father, and they say, well, you could do better than this. I don't know of anything that would crush a child more than that. Employers have the greatest results by complimenting their employees rather than rigid rules and violations. Would you turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. This is such an incredible scripture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That should be on a sign someplace. In fact, a sign everywhere. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I don't see any other scriptures that extends our life more than when we honor our parents. For many years, my parents were not in the church, but my dad could call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would be there in order to honor him. He raised me. He sacrificed for me, and therefore, I'm going to honor him and his commitment to me. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or calling attention to God. Honey, you need to live for God because there are some benefits. How many of you kids want to live long lives? Amen. Glory to God. And then if you'll turn to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. There's such a fine line. I know from time to time I have to say hard things from this pulpit, and I don't want to discourage people, but I want to encourage people. The Word of God is supposed to encourage people. It's not to tear people down. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you truth? Paul was a good pastor because he didn't hold back anything, because he wanted them to have the whole blessings of God in their life, and so he gave it to them according to God's word. The times I remember the most about my father were times that he spent a whole lot of time with me. I remember those times where he simply said, hey, you want to go and have a catch? And we play baseball or throw the baseball around for. He showed me how to throw a curveball and a knuckleball. For some of you, it didn't make any difference, but to me, I was into baseball. I was on Little League and Pony League and high school baseball and all. I loved it, and for my dad to play baseball with me, to coach my baseball team, to take me hunting for the first time, show me how to shoot a gun, take me up north on vacations, and I still go up north on vacation just to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. Parents sometimes think that giving their children stuff endears them to that child. I don't have any time. Here, take that. But the most important thing for our children is our time. Amen. What it really demonstrates is I love you and I want to spend time with you. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Your treasure is where you spend your time. Amen. We only have so much time. Some people are worried about running out of money before they run out of life, you know. Well, worry about what you do with the time that you have in this life. Are you investing it into things that are going to last for an eternity? Our children grow up too fast. Seems like just yesterday my kids were sitting in the back seat, little kids. I was saying to the Whites this morning that back in 1980, we had no money. We had this little Honda, And one of the insurance companies that I represented had a condo down at Orlando, and they said, hey, yeah, it's free between Christmas and New Year's if you want it. And so we just got enough gas money to drive down there because we knew we had a free place to stay. And all during the time, we had these Bible drama tapes in our car. I remember kids didn't even want to stop because of the Bible drama tapes were so good. We didn't have a TV. We would have campouts in the living room where we start the fire and get sleeping bags and listen to Bible drama tapes because it was filling them with information about the things of God, which will last way beyond the bicycles and the stuff that we give them. The broken toys that are down in the basement, you know, we could reassemble China with all of the plastic that we have in the basement. They grow up so fast, you never know which moment are going to be locked in our children's memory forever. Dad, remember when we... Hallelujah. I've got some moments that are locked in my memory of when I walked into the house of God, or the things that God said to me, or the compliments. I've said this before. I was preparing the first time I ever preached a message, and I felt so frustrated, and God gave me Matthew 3 and 16, and I didn't even know what it said. I got out of bed to look at it, and it says, "And this is my son in whom I am well pleased." I will never, ever forget falling to my knees because of this compliment that God gave me. Me! I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I've never even stood behind a pulpit before. I remember Brother Robert Trapani, who's preached here on a number of occasions years ago. He's passed, telling of the time that his teenage son came to the door of his office while he was working on a message, and he simply said, "Dad, could I just have a minute of your time?" And he said, "You know, I'm working on this message. I don't have the time. Later this afternoon when you come back, we'll talk." Well, his son went swimming, took a group of young kids that he was mentoring, and he dove off a diving board, hit his head, broke his neck, and died. Brother Trapani said, "If I could only..." If I could only turn the clock back. Are there some areas in your life, if I could only turn the clock back? My wife and I have discussed this over the years, saying, you know, we put so much time into work. I wish we would have spent more time with our kids when they were young. Oh, but you wouldn't have had to. It doesn't matter. What really matters is our kids. Well, some say, well, we have quality time. That's a cop-out. We need to show our kids that they get the best of our time. Stop whatever you're doing and invest in the only thing that's going to get to heaven. Will some of our children's memories be of you praying with them when they got the Holy Ghost? Being there for the Sunday school program, special moments at the altar, worshiping next to you, and the tears streaming down their face, and you putting your arms around them. Are they going to remember going down the blow-up slide on Labor Day, and you were right there and say, "Wow, you're doing a great job"? That's all about being a parent. It's all about being there for God. His encouragement, him spending time with me, but we decide how much time we're going to spend with him. And when we don't spend time with him, what we're saying is, "You're not as, excuse me, I got some things to do. Maybe we could talk later." You don't know if you have them later, folks. Hallelujah. I don't understand how parents could have priorities of soccer and baseball and not of God. And I know that's so narrow-minded, I could poke out both of my eyes on a pin. But I don't understand why no one else sees the value in somehow a spiritual education rather than something that won't be worth anything years from now. I'd like to go to one of those soccer tournaments and just have a couple of minutes in the announcing booth. Tell them what their kids really need is from another world. Amen. I'm a tough pastor, huh? 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Could you say everywhere?
Everywhere.
Well, I raise my hands in church every once in a while. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And our children need to see their father worshiping God, yes, everywhere. Joshua said when Israel was half backslidden, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You make your decision. But for me, amen. I could never ask anybody in this congregation to do something that I wouldn't do. We've got a sign up here that says prayer, scripture, and fasting. And I really believe it's provoked us in order to do more praying and reading and fasting. I see that board out there. My wife and I fast on a weekly basis. But I could never ask you to do something that I would not be committed to. And we can't ask our children to do something that we're not doing. Just won't work. Joshua said, as for me and my house. He didn't say just for me. God didn't ask Moses to bring Joshua with him when he went up to the mount to receive the commandments. But he did. This is what fathers do. They take their children with them to church. Joshua was the one who lingered at the tabernacle even after Moses left. Well, the pastor left. That means I should leave. Where did Joshua's love for these things of God come from? Came from watching his spiritual father. I knew very little about the things of God when I came into the church. Even though I went to a parochial school for the first 8 years of my life, I heard the stories, but I had really no concept of spiritual things. My natural father didn't have the desire, nor did he have the knowledge of spiritual things, but I watched my spiritual father, who was my pastor. I hung on every word of his message. I saw his priorities. I took on his values, asked him 10,000 questions, because I wanted to know about God that he experienced far beyond my experience. I developed a love for the things that he loved, including holiness. By watching how he conducted his life and patterned my life accordingly. Who are you patterning your life after? Somebody who just gets by? Somebody who hasn't just made a full commitment to God? Our children will never become what we are not. Oh, I hope my son becomes a pastor someday. I hope my daughter maybe teaches in a Christian school or becomes a pastor's wife. No. You know what? Until you show them what their potential is and that you yourself. Is this too hard for people? Thank God for roles in my life. What a pattern for life eternal we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Laid down his life. He is our encourager, something that happens in the middle of the night. He knows our thoughts. He'll wake us up. He'll give us a word of encouragement when nobody else will. He always has time for me. Even though there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth, if I come to him, he'll say, okay, I'll give you the time that you need. His letters speak to us in personal terms. How many times, I don't know about you, but how many times you open up the scripture and you see a scripture and you know, God, you put it there just for me. After Wednesday night service, wasn't Wednesday night service great? Lady came up to me and said, if you weren't here, I preached about defending God. She said, all night long, last night, God was talking to me about how we need to defend God. You know what that was? That wasn't for you. That was for me. Encouraging me and saying, that a boy. You're doing what's right. Hallelujah. God's never harsh. He's never demanding, allowing us to feel his presence even when we don't deserve to feel his presence. Amen. Notice in the gifts of the Spirit when we have tongues and interpretation, and sometimes there's even a rebuke, but it's never ending with a rebuke. It's always, I love you. I thank you for your worship. I have great things for you. He's always encouraging us. He shows up when others have forsaken us. He takes us to the mountain when we didn't even ask to go along. How many times we come into the church, we're thinking, I shouldn't even be here. And then all of a sudden, the power and the presence of God is all over us. And we're thinking, God, really? That's what a father does. If we are looking for a role model, we have the greatest father this world has ever seen. Amen. Would you turn to John, the 14th chapter? I love this chapter. It's an awesome chapter. Only oneness people can read this chapter. Chapter 14, verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. I don't know. This time of the year, I see all these articles on people who have been reunited with their father through ancestral DNA, you know, found ya, you know. Oh, if they could only find their heavenly father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know, I've looked at this as a one of scripture all my spiritual life. But you know what? When you see me, you should see the Father. We're a chip off the old block. We are in likeness of our Lord and Savior. And when they see us, they see the Father in us. Not only the way we look, but we act, our attitude, our kindness, our loving, our giving, our generosity. When you see me, you see the Father. He set up a prototype for us to emulate, if you will. In the 12th chapter, verse 44, it says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth on, not on me, but on him that sent me, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So what we're saying is we become the Christians or Christ-like to the entire, they're looking for a role model. They're looking for an image. And if we look just like everybody else in the world, they'll never find the Father that died for them. As a father, I represent the Heavenly Father, and to my children and even to the rest of the world, when they see me, they really should see God in me somehow. And if we are Christians, we should be Christ-like, an example of what Jesus really is to everybody that's close to us. The Bible tells us that in the end times, children will be disobedient to parents. I see it all of the time. I see kids having temper tantrums in grocery stores because they want something and the parents won't give it to them. I want it, I want it. My answer is, give it to them. Amen. You know? Oh, but they'll call 911. You know what? I think God's bigger than 911. The Bible tells us that they're going to be disobedient in the end times. Could it be that they are looking for a role model that hasn't been there? And it isn't the children's fault. There isn't anything that makes me smile more than see these toddlers walking up around the altar. You know, they don't play back there. They come up here. They're trying to climb these steps all of the time to get closer up here because they know this is where the action is. They take their first steps at the altar. I took my first steps at the altar. Hallelujah. A Sunday school class was asked to draw pictures of God. Brother Portman did that some months or even years ago, and it was, some of them weren't too easily recognized. There were pictures of old men in billowing clouds with a beard, you know, and some were Superman heroes. But one little girl said, I don't know what God looks like, so I'm just going to draw a picture of my daddy. That's what we should do. Fathers, we are the closest thing to our children to emulate our God. And they are watching you to be that example for them to live their life after. So many just don't know how to be a husband, don't know how to be a father because they haven't had an example. But I'm grateful for the examples that have been in my life, even to those who are sitting on a pew this morning. You've been an example to me in how faithful you have been and the things that you do that nobody sees. Amen. Came in this morning and the beautiful pots of flowers that were there, you know, the Marquardts worked in the heat yesterday in order to do that. Just an example of, you know what? I want what's best for the kingdom of God. Amen. So, a tribute to fathers, a tribute to mothers, a tribute to faithful saints, because God, well, you'll never outgive God. He always has ready-made houses and vineyards and is willing to take up your cause. You're willing to take up his cause. Would you stand with me, please? Talking to the Whites this morning, they said, well, we just heard your message. And I said, really? You haven't been here for a while. He said, no. We downloaded Wednesday night's message on how to defend God and our grandson was in the back seat, and we wanted him to hear these things because they don't hear them on a regular basis, but they need to hear these things. Amen. The treasures that we have in the Word of God. Amen. And when the tree is young, it's so easy to bend it, to give them information that will stay with them for a long, long time. I applaud you, parents, and what you're doing with your children, bringing them to the house of God and sharing the Word of God with them. We, over the years, have always decided that we want our kids up in service to worship with their parents because they need to have those kind of memories, not that we just put them in a different part of the building because that will suffice for their ministry. No, no. They need to see you worshiping God so they have an example to worship God as well. And I love this church, and I love what you stand for and what you're doing. And God has rewards for us. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?